CliffCentral.com.
I think it's ironic that we bring poor Yaku in every time we end up talking about fraud, because, I mean, he was even discussing some of this stuff on his show just yesterday. But Yaku Voigt is, of course, the CEO of Catalytic, and he has his own show on a Tuesday morning. How are you doing, Yaku? You good?
Good morning. Yeah, very well.
I don't know if you heard any of that, but Carvin was just talking about how when your phone gets stolen, they can get into your old WhatsApp groups. Which is something I hadn't thought about at all. And his wife had her phone stolen, and then these criminals were trying to like get money out of her school groups and the mom groups that she's on. I mean, this is just another level of what you talk about so often on your show when it comes to like fraud and internet security and all of that shit, right?
Yaku, exactly before you start, Yaku, one more thing, Garrett. We went to Vodacom. Yaku, just listen to this. We went to Vodacom. And we had the number flagged for fraud on the next day, on the 17th, right? So flagged for fraud. They said the number's been flagged for fraud. We'll do a swim swap back to you. You can have your number back. We got the number back. The next day, they reversed. The scammers or whoever reversed what we had gone in person to do. So she came to Vodacom in person with her ID and proof of address. And they reversed over the phone through a call center what we had done in person and sent it back to them, sent ported the number back to the scammer's SIM card.
How does that happen?
So it's quite interesting. I wonder, like normally when you go to the mall, you see all of those cell phone shops full of people, and I always wonder what they go and do there. It's probably that. Because why else would you go there? It's the worst.
Well,
that's awesome.
You know,
we spent the whole June 16th and day after in like there was a holiday week. My wife asked me on Sunday, "What did we do this holiday?" I said, "We were at Vodacom."
Literally, yeah.
We were literally at Vodacom. That's what we did.
You know,
if you go to the mall where Simpiwe and I go to, which is here in Midrand. it always amazes me that you can go past the Vodacom or Telkom Mobile or MTN. The shop is always full of people, and I always wonder what do they go do there. And then you can stand there for hours.
You know, everything we do is so connected to this now, and I just think about it.
Bro.
It's worth saying again, because I mentioned this 2 weeks ago when it happened to a friend of mine. Now we've got your wife's story, Carvin. But yes, if you don't back this stuff up, and if you don't have a plan, you don't think about what could happen if you lose your phone, if it's stolen from you. You could lose everything, your bank details,
bro,
your investment stuff, your personal information,
phone number,
everything.
That's a big one.
Yaku,
all your OTPs go there.
How come these scammers, how come these scammers are so good at this stuff too? I mean, you know, you would think that these are unsophisticated people, but my God, they're better than any of us at hacking, at getting the information out of the phone, at switching it on, even if it's been blacklisted. I mean, all these things that they tell you that will happen when your phone gets stolen, it seems that these criminals are way cleverer than the people who made the phones.
Well, Garrett, if you think, what do you spend your time on? You spend your time on your craft to obviously, you know, live out your passion and make money.
Sure.
And for these scammers, it's big money. You know, it's very, very simple. And you've got scale, because there's a lot of people that obviously have phones. So, it's money. It's a business. And I think that's the way that people must think about it. Now, I sound like a broken record about it, where every week in the show we talk about, you know, there's no business that's too small to be a target of people like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, we just need to take it a lot more seriously. It's actually interesting. I was watching an article, looking at an article this morning where ShopRite is under ransomware threat at the moment, you know. So, and I mean, those guys spend millions on security. So it can happen. It can literally happen to anybody.
But Yaku, no, I'm not giving the scammers the credit in this case. And you can help me, Yaku. Because the scam they pull of SIM swapping is piss easy to do.
Yeah.
SIM cards have no protection. The technology of SIM cards hasn't been improved in, 20 years? So this thing that happened to us is happening all over the world. So they basically, all they needed was information that wherever they got from, whether it's from the TransUnion League or whatever, they just need.
I just want to throw this in here. Why do we spend so much of our time fikeing and rekeying and making sure that all our information is up to date? You know, we have to fill in forms every time we do anything, including getting a new phone. And it seems that it's useless to us and it's useful to all the bad people. Isn't that annoying?
Yeah. Because the phone, no matter how much protection you have on the phone, there's nothing you can do about the process, the Vodacom or whatever, when someone calls in. That's like, that's security outside of every individual's control, Yako. Like, how do we around that?
I don't know. I mean, with the risk of pointing fingers at Vodacom, I mean, there's got to be some form of collaboration or something between the scammers and somebody inside. Like, I mean, I think if you try and go and do a SIM swap on a legitimate account, you'll probably find it's not that easy. It's like Gareth says, you probably have to fill in 100 forms. So I think there's got to be some form of collaboration.
Someone on the inside. There's some crook on the inside who's helping them, for sure.
Scary, guys. Like, you know, scary. That's because when you're dealing with FNB or you're dealing with Vodacom, you have got all your personal information in the hands of people who are poorly paid in call centers or wherever. Like, that means that we're all at risk here, because those people then, if you're saying that it could be an inside job, does that mean that we're all at risk of, like, at some point, someone inside saying, you know what, there might be a little buck to make on the side from giving this person access to this person's number?
Well, you were talking about Twitter earlier. I saw there's a, I think she's a doctor in Durban, actually, Corin Marrow or something like that. She posted on Twitter last night, a friend of hers phones got stolen in KZN somewhere, and people took they then unlocked the phone and transferred 70,000 rand out of a Nedbank account and applied for a personal loan. So I mean, it can be really scary.
You know, if you think about it, if you had 70,000 rand in cash, you would lock that away somewhere safe. You certainly wouldn't put it in your pocket and drive around and take it to the shops with you and be on it while you're at the traffic lights and you know.
You never won the lotto.
Yes.
You wouldn't let it put it in your pocket, walk around the wood.
Unbelievable, huh?
Bloody There's scary. A reason why Gareth, Cyril had all that money in the sofa, Gareth.
Yeah,
there's a reason.
Cyril, exactly.
I was about to say, now, where would you put it away? Because apparently your sofa is not an option anymore.
Listen, if you...
Or your mattress.
This is actually a really good question. Like, if you had to hide cash, let's say a briefcase full of money, which could be 1 million rand, right? I mean, 1 million rand isn't that much when you actually squeeze the notes together and put elastic around them. You could put that in a briefcase, 1 million rand. If you had to hide that, and don't give away any of your actual hiding places here, but where the hell would you even put it? Cyril sewed it into a sofa or put it in the sofa cushions. Where would you put it?
Wow.
So, Gareth, I have the perfect answer for you.
Here we go.
You see that beautiful bookcase that you have right behind you?
Yeah.
That's where I would stash it. Like, every book would have, you know, the money, because nobody reads, nobody attacks the books. Even robbers, when they come in, I promise you, the thing that they never take is books. They always leave books behind. They will take the sofa, they will take the TV, they'll take your laptop, they'll take cables, for crying out loud. But books, guys, they always leave books behind. Even the in fact, the Bible, to be exact. Get different versions.
The Bible.
I promise you.
That'll keep
No one messes with the Bible. It'll keep them away.
But you're going to have a lot of Bibles for 1 million rand, Sims.
Exactly.
Yes. There's New King James Version. There's the Young Woman's What. There's so many versions of the Bible. Get it in Latin. Get it there. It's done. I promise you, no one's taking that money.
Yeah, but doesn't Garrett's bookcase look like one of those ones in the movies where you pull one book and that whole thing flips?
Yeah. I wish. That's not a bad answer though, Simpiro. I mean, that could be a very good plan. I just want to let Yaku, before he goes, because we've got like 4 minutes here, I just want to talk about data centers, because this is also something you've been exploring on your show. So just quickly give us some insight into what data centers are and why they're important, and perhaps give us a little taste of what you're going to be talking about on the show next week as well.
So Gareth, I sound like a broken record all of the time. Last night, here in Midrand where I stay, Sims, I got home mm-hmm. after six, and the power was off in Eton. I decided, well, we've got nothing to do, so let's go for a run. And I was surprised by the amount of generators that everybody had here. So you know, because and then what's also fascinating is everybody that's got a generator, they don't have one light on in the house. It's literally every light in the house is on. and the reason why I find it so interesting is because you know, when load shedding resumed this week, everybody says load shedding is back, but it's here, it's with us.
It never
left. It's going to be here for quite a long time.
Right.
So we had a discussion on my podcast yesterday, specifically about the fact, similar to what we spoke about now about security, where smaller businesses tend to think their data centers are not really for them. It's a big business type scenario.
Yeah.
And we firmly believe that you know, taking into account physical security, plus then the fact that we know that load shedding, we're going through a difficult time, that everybody should have access to data center services. And that's our focus for the probably until the end of July. We're just going to preach everybody must go into a data center, and then we remove all of those problems around you know physical security. What do you do when they break in and steal all of your equipment? And how do you deal with power outages and filling up generators and all of those kind of things? So for the next like I said, until the end of July, that's what we're focusing on. Every business that we're talking to, we want you in a data center. We don't want you to host stuff at your premises, because it's just not efficient and easy. It's difficult.
That makes a lot of sense. I mean, we the cloud is now an old topic of discussion, but everybody kind of understands what that is. And you can upload and download as you need to from the office, but why have all of your information actually stored on a hard drive at the office? It's ridiculous. Then you're asking for trouble.
There's still so much of that, and specifically in the smaller businesses. I mean, I had a customer this week where if I had to show you a photo of what their computer cabinet looks like, you'd have a heart attack. And every time somebody just gets close to that, something goes off. So, and it's not their core business, but it causes so much anxiousness, because, you know, the business goes and stands still when that thing doesn't work. So yeah, that's our focus for the month. And Gareth, maybe I was thinking about it. Anybody that sends us a mail to letsconnect@catalytic.co.za to inquire about our so we've got an SME offering from as little as 2,000 rand a month for the space, the power, unlimited internet. You know, that's a let's call it a special offer that we're running now. So anybody that sends a mail to letsconnect@catalytic.co.za stands a chance to get a year's free worth hosting awesome. Just by doing that.
All right, then just give us that email address one more time, because people they only remember on the third try.
Okay, it's letsconnect@catalytic.co.za. And then just send us a mail and say, I want to know more about your data center services. Sure. And you can get get the chance to get a year's free worth of hosting.
Absolutely. Awesome. Thank you, Jaco. Always nice to see you. We'll catch you next Tuesday.
Thank you very much. Nice chatting to all of you.
Very nice, man. Jaco Voigt, cool. The CEO of Catalytic. CliffCentral.com.